This is CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's in London. He writes political economics. And the debate since Brexit, the first vote, the surprise, Boris Johnson's ballyhooing Brexit, have been, what does this mean for the city, for the London stock market, which has been prosperous for many decades, is a centerpiece of many important scenes in English novels that we've all read. And so therefore, does the city survive Brexit? The move towards the continent was always warned about, but never clear to me. Sometimes Frankfurt, sometimes Paris, sometimes a new combination of all of the above. However, I come to news. I believe this is Bloomberg, but I'm not certain reporting. There's a level of sang-froid about this that I can't reproduce. So I'll say it reads this way. Arrivederci. Goldman is shifting some traders to Milan from London as it bulks up continental Europe offices in the wake of Brexit. Staff will probably move early next year. Joe, that's Goldman, right? That's a big one. Is this a trend or is this a one-off? Goldman deciding that the Italian food was wonderful this time of year.
Well, I think this has been a problem that the UK has been facing for several years since Brexit, you know, because certainly Brexit brought with it big regulatory problems for the financial services industry. It becomes much more difficult to have bankers here in the UK trying to serve the European Union market on the continent. And so I think this has been a problem that a lot of banks and other financial services companies have been trying to grapple with over the past few years. And Goldman is just the latest example of one of them figuring out how it can move people and put people in the right places. I mean, on top of that regulatory issue, I would add that there increasingly is going to be a tax issue because one of the things that Rishi Sunak and his chancellor, Jeremy Hunt, have done over the past few weeks is make the British tax regime considerably less friendly to high-paid global talent than it used to be. You know, there are a bunch of changes underway to income tax, to dividends and capital gains taxation, to taxation on housing, all of which is going to end up making the UK relatively, you know, a less desirable place to be relative to some of its competitors, or perhaps a less competitive place. So this doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be a mass exodus, but it does mean that you might start moving some of these high tax paying, high earners out of the UK, whereas before Brexit and before this tax fiasco, it would have been a no-brainer that you would just keep all of them here.
So right now, then, we do not have a trend. It's various details, anecdotal, about the big banks. Is that correct, Joe? No panic yet.
Yes, I mean, I think it's difficult to identify a specific trend, but we do know that a lot of financial services companies have been having this kind of conversation internally. And it's been this issue of where, from a regulatory perspective, does it make sense for us to put our employees? Where, from a tax perspective or a lifestyle perspective, will those employees want to go? And so I think that having a story of this sort right now is a reminder that that discussion is far from over and that actually the UK is going to have to compete on a continuous basis to encourage employers to keep talent here.
I speak to Milan regularly, and having visited the city once upon a time, I mentioned that it's a very smart move if you care about food and lifestyle and access to Tuscany and the joys of the Alps and the south of France. I can see why it would attract people, even if they don't, if they choose not to move from London. Certainly there are a lot of workers in a lot of bankers in Italy who will enjoy welcoming Goldman. We turn now, we're talking life in London. So life in London, as of yet, has the city in place, although check back later. We come to my favorite topic. This is Extinction Rebellion subset called Just Stop Oil. Just Stop Oil activists. They wear what appears to be those orange vests that you wear when you're on the site for construction or road work. The headline is Just Stop Oil activists start fortnight of protests in London. A senior member of the Home Affairs Select Committee, this is commenting in the London Times, said that officers needed, quote, a rocket up them after they arrested only two protesters who backed up traffic in parts of London. There would appear to be, Joe, some growing contentiousness between the authorities and the Home Affairs Ministry and the protesters blocking traffic. There's a photograph of the marchers escorted by police. Have you seen Just Stop Oil in the streets? Have you seen the results of their blocking traffic?
I have not actually directly seen one of the protests, but certainly a lot of the stories about the traffic obstructions are all over the media here, and it creates an enormous hardship for the motorists who get stuck into it. Not to mention the risk to life when the fire trucks and the ambulances and police cars aren't able to get through some of these blockades. And, you know, you were pointing there to what is a really important discussion going on within the British government right now about what to do about this, because I think that these protests have a couple features, one of which is that it is a very small group of people who do this, and their pattern has been that they will be arrested and then they will get bailed out. And then while they are still on bail, technically having promised to keep their noses clean, they will go straight out and engage in another protest. And in fact, if more of them were having their bail denied, a lot of this would dry up very quickly because there just are not very many of them. It is a very small group that has settled on this tactic to create the false impression that it is a much bigger group of activists than it actually is. So I think that one challenge that the government has in dealing with this is that the whole British method of policing and the legal system are not set up for people who are this fanatical. You know, the expectation is that if you have nonviolent offenders that you bail out, they will not reoffend. Well, this group apparently will. And so I think that they're now figuring out what kind of new policing powers or bail regulations do they need in order to keep these people from reoffending. And I mean, understand that even if it is technically not a violent protest, they are nonviolent, there is still that risk to life involved in obstructing traffic in the way that they do. And there's also the fact that it diminishes the general public's respect for the law if people are allowed to so flagrantly thumb their noses at the judges who have bailed them out. So I think that there is a dawning realization within the government that for all of these reasons, they are going to have to change the way they approach these protests.
Tim Lawton, a conservative MP, said, "These are not protesters, these are criminals, and police should be arresting them." He goes on to say, "Calling themselves protesters is an insult to people such as the suffragettes. When you seek to disrupt the lives of citizens, that goes beyond protest." My goodness, Joe, this is passionate talk. Do you see this on the telly?
Yeah, I think there is a growing recognition that this group's behavior is very different. And part of it is because what they are engaging in is not civil disobedience. I mean, the traditional model for this kind of protest is that you do something that you know is illegal as a protest, but you have carefully chosen your, the law that you will break, with a view to trying to change that specific law. And then you're prepared to sit in jail to embarrass the authorities. But these people are not doing that. They're trying to get themselves bailed out to reoffend. It's a very different kind of problem.
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's based in London, the Just Stop Oil, London, at holiday time. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.